The teacher called my granddaughter lazy, and one of the things that when you're calling African-American children lazy, that has been a stigma because that had been to the point where people would say that they're shiftless and lazy. Some of the things that they had a potential, and one of them had just come out of a regular classroom where she was making straight A's. And then she goes into the gifted, and in a matter of 2 weeks, she's gone to straight F's. And we don't know what all of that happened, but I think my granddaughter always felt that the teacher wasn't fair to her, and that's her perception. So her perception is her reality. But she ended up putting them at Canaan, and the three girls are there now, and the pre-K speaks Chinese now. She's been taught Chinese, and she's 3 years old, and spelling read and all those kinds of things. And then the other two that are at Canaan now have just, I mean, they've excelled, and their self-esteem has gone up, and now they're excited about going to school and don't want to miss school. So that's made a difference with them. I also have a grandson that's in Korea right now, who's in the gifted program over there. He's very intelligent. His name is Trey, and I don't get to see Trey. I haven't seen him in almost 2 years now because he's been over there. So I've got quite a few and then I've got another granddaughter that's 2 years old, that's in Philadelphia. So my grandkids went to, the other ones went to Urbana, and the one went to Urbana where they had that one program where they were teaching boys how to be assertive African-Americans. It was an African-American class at King School. But the only thing about that, and I think later on in as it goes on, they'll look into that, that they taught them how to be self-assertive, to stand up for what they believe in, to speak up. And then you go into a school system that's different. And, all right, you taught that in the elementary school, and it's acceptable for you to speak up and talk about Black history, and if somebody's not right, to be able to voice your opinion. But then you go over in another system, and then what they end up doing is kicking you out of school. So you can learn how to be assertive on one hand and be being Black and being a Black male and how you're this and all of that and a bag of chips. But then you go over there in another instance where they do not accept that, where that you cannot speak up. And it's kind of like my daughter and granddaughter that's at Canaan when she does logic. And they do teach logic there too. And I had that when I was in college. But to be able to think and do, to think that thing through, you may teach one thing, but then you need to find out what the results are going to be when they go and move out of King School into a regular system. And that can be devastating for the kids. So my concern would be that you've got these all these Black males, that they could end up being problems and end up going on into the system. And I'm talking about the jail system. So those are things that we need to get our Black boys right now and let them be all that they can be.
Are the Champaign or Urbana schools better to you?
I don't know if the schools themselves are better. You may have better teachers at a certain school than you do at another school. I think you're as good as your teacher. You look in Urbana. Urbana does not have the resources that Champaign has, but none of them can jump up and shout as far as African Americans and the progress that they're making. They're getting there, but they have not arrived yet. Because if they had, they would not have the civil rights cases that's been before us.
As a child, did you like the white school, the Black school, or the integrated school better?
Which school, because I could do things and not be held back because of the color of my skin.
What obstacles did you go through in school, referring to high school?
Well, I think the obstacles is that I was not involved in extracurricular activities that kids may have the opportunity of that now, but back then they really didn't have that. One of the things that, this may sound silly, but as simple as when we were growing up, you know, we as black people get ashy when it gets cold and your legs get ashy. But a thing as simple as some lotion being provided in the middle school was never provided for us. So we used to have to go in the home economics room and get some Crisco and put it on our legs and stuff so that it wouldn't be ashy. But that would be something that as simple as that. So I miss being in, I think, in the African-American schools because it was those kinds of things. And that's just something simple that comes to mind, that that was provided for us. If nothing but Vaseline was there for us.
Are there any obstacles that were, that you remember because they were either hurtful or they were hurtful at the time but then made a difference later on in life?
Perhaps, I guess, one of the things that would come to mind is that was hurtful is that eating lunch. We, you know, back then, everybody wanted to eat lunch. At least African Americans did. Wanted to be able to buy a lunch. And, you know, if you could get a hot lunch, then that kind of meant that you had, you know, had money. But we were never afforded that. What we did was we always bought a lunch. Mm-hmm. And right today, I don't like ham because I had ham sandwiches every day throughout high school. So now I look back over that and say that it wasn't so bad because at least I ate and we, that was something that my mom and dad could afford. And that's what we had. Nowadays, the difference is that kids don't have to bring a lunch, that the schools will provide a free lunch for a hot lunch.
Are there any major changes that you had in high school?
I think my body changed. So those were major changes. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not asking questions, but my partner, Veronica, would like to ask a couple of questions, if that would be okay with you.
Of course.
Thank you.
I have just a couple for you. When you said that you were moving from church to church, Salem, and then you left, and then you came back, and then you joined another one, why do you think that you kept joining different churches?
I think that if I look at the when I was at Grove Street, mm-hmm. and when I mentioned about going to Salem, and I think I mentioned the fact that the girls that I hung out with went to Salem, and I went to Salem because of that. The other instances when I went to another church is because I was not here in Champaign. I had moved to another area. Coming back, the reason that I changed churches from Mount Olive to the Church of the Living God is because I had been called to preach. And at that particular time, the pastor said, if you do it, it would be bad for you, bad for the kids, bad for the church. And I said to him, I love you, but I love God more, and I've got to be obedient to him. And that is when I changed churches to do what God had called me to do.
Do you believe that when your teacher told you that you didn't have the material to go to college, did that hurt you or make you a better person?
I think it hurt, but I think it made me a better person because when someone tells you you can't, you got to be determined to know that you can. And it's not what you say about me, it's what I say about myself. And I say that I can do it.
Mm-hmm. When you said that you didn't see African-Americans doing, being treasurers and cheerleaders and presidents, and that they had different groups for the whites and African-Americans, Do you think that is still happening today?
Well, I think that probably it could be. Mm-hmm. But I think that you would probably be the one to be able to answer that better. When I look at some of the issues that had taken place at Champaign Central, mm-hmm. When it came to being on a cheerleading team, and some of the things that came out of that, where teachers were choosing not based on their ability, but based on the color of their skin. And that was a big controversy because some of the comments that were made by the teachers made these kids feel really bad. So I can only relate to what I heard from one girl, Yvette Long's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a high school student. I think Whitney graduates this year, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. She graduated, and she went through a lot on that. But I guess I would flip it on you. What do you see? Do you see a difference now?
I think that there are more Caucasians on there, being that they were probably brought up to saying, this is what you do, this is what needs to be done. But I think that there's not as many African Americans given the chance, or they believe that they're not qualified to do that, because that's not what, you know.
Yeah, when you say they're not qualified, who believes that they're not qualified? You think the teachers or what?
Right now, being that I go to Franklin, I believe that a lot of the teachers give you that confidence that you need, but that child has to believe that they can do it in order for them to actually do the job and do it right. And I think that that's the problem. Kids don't have enough confidence in themselves.
Okay. So how do you think they can get that confidence?
Through the family. If you got like close ties with your mom and dad or your brothers or sisters or even friends.
Okay.
And I have one question. When I was doing research on you.
You did research on me, huh? I'll take my glasses off on that one. Okay.
When I was doing research, I found out that a lady had married a Caucasian man, and their child was biracial, and that on the form, it didn't have an other spot because they had taken that off because of child left behind situation. Do you think that that is helping the child, or do you think that that's hurting the child?
I think personally, mm-hmm. I know they did that because of No Child Left Behind, mm-hmm. And that was a requirement. But personally, I think that that hurts a child, because a child needs to know. If you don't know where you came from, then you don't know where you're headed. If you don't know, it's just like with me, you need to know who you are, what you are, where you came from. See, we can be as separate as the fingers on my hand, but as a fist in a common cause. And that common cause is our children. And you've got to implant into them who they are. If, in fact, my mom's white, mm-hmm. my daddy's black, how can I choose what I am when I'm both? You see what I mean? So that's like my father. My father's mother was white, and her dad, she was mixed.
Mm-hmm.
Her father was white and her mother was black. So how could she say, well, I'm black? But I know if we look at history, usually the race of the mother will determine what you are. If you're black in any portion of black in it, then usually what they will say is that you're black. But I think that you need to be able to say, I'm black and I'm white, or whatever, you know. Growing up, my kids, we had a portion of white, black, and Indian. Mm-hmm. And this guy named Stagowal, who was our neighbor, he was Polish.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my son saying to him, Stagowal, I'm better than you, because you only white, and I am black, and I'm white, and I'm Indian, so I'm three times better than you. So that was a way of him. He was about 6 years old. But mm-hmm. that was a way of letting him know that I'm proud of
everything
that I am and who I am.
Okay, because me being more than two different races, because I'm black, Indian, Irish, and Caucasian. And it's like really hard for me to cope with different races because here I am with the African American group. They're telling me I'm not black, I'm mixed, or I'm too white or too Indian. But then when I get over here with the Caucasian groups, I don't know how to react because they're pushing me away. But then over here, I don't know what to say because I can't benefit from everything that they're saying.
And you've got to benefit from who you are. You know what I mean? Take what you can from each group and you just use it for your benefit. Because the color of your skin does not determine what you can do. You know, it's kind of like that story that this man took his granddaughter to the circus.
Mm-hmm.
And as he went to the circus, they were blowing up balloons. They blew up a red balloon, a white balloon, and a black balloon. And the little girl went to her grandpa, and the grandpa, being a wise old man, she said to him, said, "Grandpa," they were putting the helium in the balloon, said, "Grandpa, can that black balloon go as high as that white balloon and that red balloon?" And the grandpa looked at his little grandbaby, and he said, "Baby, it's not the color that determines how high you'll go. It's the stuff that's on the inside of you. So the stuff that's on the inside of you is going to determine how high you can go."
I never heard of that. That was good. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, but it's the stuff on the inside of you, not the color. Okay. So you remember that one.
Okay. And I have like a couple more. How much did you know about the Brown versus Board of Education?
Now or then?
Then.
Then? Other than what we heard on the news, not a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
As you grow older, you learn more about it. Same way with you. You all may not have known that much about it, but as you begin to study it, you begin to learn more about it. But it's not many kids that may realize now how is it that integration came about. They just know, well, it just happened. But as you begin to research it, you learn more about it.
Okay. And why do you say going to an integrated school was a luxury? And why was it a luxury?
Did I say it was a luxury? I don't think it was a luxury. I think it was, you could look at it as being a, I wouldn't say a luxury. I think that it was a point that we did it, that you went. But I think that the luxury that I found was going into a segregated school. That's what I thought was luxurious because it gave me an opportunity to be able to excel based on where I was. So I wouldn't say that I look at integration as being something luxurious because it doesn't mean because I sit next to a white person that it makes me a better person because I can sit next to a white person too. But if, in fact, you're not about what's right, then you're not going to benefit me any more than I can sit next to a black person and them not being right. Is it going to benefit me? I only want to be around somebody that's, as I said earlier, going to add, multiply to you, but not subtract and take away from you.
Okay. When... What role do you believe the schools played in the children's lives today?
If you look at the amount of time that a child is in school, they have a big impact on them. You know, you go to school from 8 o'clock usually till about 3, 3:30. So you're talking about 7, 8 hours that I'm in a classroom. So you're going to make a big impact on them. Most of the time when you get out of school, you're on your last leg. You'll be ready to go to bed. So you spend more time in the school than you do actually with your family. So whatever you learn in that school is going to have an impact, be it negative or positive. It's going to be a big impact.
Okay. And my last question. When you say now schools could be, depending on how you look, it could be worse or better, do you think it's a mental issue on the fact that African-American kids are doing worse than what they were at first?
Well, when we talk about whether it's a mental issue, that means a state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's a state of mind that kids are doing. They're not where they need to be. That's a fact. If you look at statistics on the children, I was looking at some suspension rates, and I don't know what the percentage, but everything I saw was African-American male, African-American males, African-American males. That bothers me. So, see, the male is a seed. When we think in terms of when we have children, that man plants that seed in a woman, and they connect up, and they grow. So if, in fact, I destroy the seed bearer, then I've destroyed the race. If, in fact, our boys don't learn and they're headed on the path that they, if you look at the number of African Americans that are graduating.
It's not a lot.
Not a lot at all, is there? So if we look at where are these African American boys going to? If, in fact, you're not graduating, then it's one of two things that you're going to do. You're going to either be in jail.
Or locked up.
Out on the street selling drugs. So if I go to jail, I can't produce, can't give you a baby, can't have children, because I'd be in some instances become a punk because of what's going on in the jailhouse. Let's, you know, we're just being real about this thing. Okay, so therefore, that eliminates my manhood. My manhood's taken away. So that means it's less men, less African-American boys for you to pick from. So then you choose ones that may be not so nice, then you end up being the loser in the whole scam of thing. So when we look at it, we've got to realize what's going on. More prisons are being built across this country. That's big money in prisons. So I get African-Americans. If you look at the number of African-Americans that are in prison, it's astonishing. So if you're in prison, then you're not out here, then what are you girls going to have? What can you look forward to? Who is it that I can look and say, well, man, I'm going to have a husband? The pickings may be slim, very slim. So I think if we look at what's going on with the African-American boys, it's more than just the surface. We better stand up and take heed. Why is it that all these African Americans are being suspended from school? Oh, we know they act out. We know that. But one of the things that, if you notice, I think it has to do with culture. Not mental, but it has to do with culture. First of all, if an African American is not going to ask you, honey, would you like to do this? Am I right? Your mom's not going to say, Diane's not going to say, would you like to do this? If she wants something done, what's she going to tell you? You better get there and do it. Mm-hmm. See, and in many of the schools, you've got a lot of white teachers, and they'll ask you, would you like to do this? That means you're giving me a decision. Mm-hmm. When in essence, you want them to do it, you know. So we look at the cultural, the way we speak to each other, it's a difference. It's a big difference. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very important that we need to focus on what's happening with our African-American males. There for a while, we had a problem with African-American girls. There were so many of the young girls having babies, 13, 14 years old, and you walking down the street pushing these carriages. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to be excited about. It's nothing cute about it, because it is a tragedy. Because what happens is, if I'm 14 years old, I've got a baby, that means that when my child get to be 14, I'll only be 28 years old. So what happens is, babies raising babies. And you know what? When you think in terms of young girls having kids, think in terms of your prom is out. Mm-hmm. If, in fact, you could go to the dance, the prom is out, talking about going to college, all those fun things. You got a baby on your side, unless your mother take them and raise them. But it's not fair to your parents to raise your kids. If you make that mistake, you have a baby, then it's up to you to raise your own kid. Because what happened is, we're losing too much in our race. We're losing, we're going down, not up. We've got to come up, and we've got to meet the standards. I think that it's important that we begin to instill in our children the importance of education. Education is the key. When you get out of school, when you come home from school, do your homework. Get it done. Don't get in front of the TV. My ex-husband used to call it, my kid's father used to call it idiot, too. That's all you do is just sit in front of that TV and not read. But if you begin to get where you give a child a book, and as Jesse Jackson said, mind is a terrible thing to waste. But as you begin to read that book and stuff, you got to think. You've got to begin to think. And we need like George Washington Carver, where's our scientist? We need to pull those kinds of things out, just like you girls are doing this radio show. Back then, you would not have had the opportunity to do this probably until you were in college. But you got a head start. But what you're doing is not just for the two of you. You got to pass it on. It's like a torch. What I learned, I've got to pass it on to you. Because somewhere down the line, something you say, something you do, will make an impact on somebody else's life. And it'll turn it around. As young as you are, you will make a difference in somebody else's life. Then your life will not be in vain.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have one more question. If you could tell kids anything today, what would it be? Your advice, if you could say one thing to all children today, what would your advice be to them?
Ooh, that is in one word.
You can make it a sentence.
I can make it a sentence, okay. Not a paragraph, but a sentence. My advice would be to the young people is to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that would be my key, study and learn.
Thank you for this interview today.
Okay. One other thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
In closing, I would say this, too. In getting all you can, get wisdom. But in all you're getting, I want you to get understanding. Okay.
That's like something from the Bible.
It is.
Thank you.
You're welcome.